What is up, family culture hackers? Welcome to the movement to revolutionize your family culture, a movement to shift away from the norms and values established in a society saddled in all the negative, destructive patterns that we seem to perpetuate for some reason. These prevailing and pervasive beliefs are everywhere, and most of us know about it, but we don't really know what to do about it. If you are dying to make a change in your life somehow, but you are feeling stuck, it is not your fault. These dominant belief systems often live just beneath the surface of our consciousness, and you live out your day-to-day reacting to these beliefs. They have been passed on to you by society and our family. Family culture hacking is all about learning how to recognize these dysfunctional belief systems and stopping them in their tracks. You will begin to see them lurking everywhere in your thoughts and language, in media, music, and marketing, in education, in business and government, in politics, and in your daily habits. Every week, I will be interviewing authors and experts who have spotted dysfunctional patterns in the dominant culture. We'll unpack these beliefs and behaviors for you to analyze why we tend to repeat them, even though we know they are not okay. Then we'll discuss solutions and behaviors to replace the dysfunctional ones so you can start practicing them. The goal of being a family culture hacker is to learn how to envision something better for you and your family, your community, and the world, and start playing out a different role and writing a new script for yourself and your family. Welcome to the show. Hello, family culture hackers. Welcome to the family culture movement. I'm really excited to have on the show today, Jeannie Sisko-Meth, and I'm really excited to have her back on the show. She has written two best-selling books, despite being told in elementary school that she was stupid, too stupid to make it. And she was in the Army and the first female to make the Ranger Challenge team in Utah. So that's a little tidbit about her, and that she loves her family every day. So welcome to the show, Jeannie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
So I'm so happy to have you back on the show. I loved our first interview, and I'm just really excited to bring up this topic again and to be able to share your mission and your movement. And so one of the icebreaker question that I've liked to ask lately is, what did you want to be growing up as a kid? What did you think you wanted to become?
I always wanted to be a jockey with a racehorse.
Oh, right?
So bad. Yeah. Love horses. Was riding horses before I could ever walk, you know, in the front of the saddle. Really? My mom would take me. Absolutely love horses. And then I just kept growing and growing. I'm 6 foot tall. And
jockeys are a little guys. Yeah.
They're like right around 5 foot, you know? Wow. And so I think I hit 5 foot in like the fourth grade, you know, cause I was 6 foot by the time I was in eighth grade. Wow. And so, yeah, that dream died as I continued to grow. And it's been really interesting, you know, that you bring that up, because I talked to my grandma and she's like, Jeannie, there's a reason you're big. Cause all the women in my family are really small. My mom was 5'3". My grandma was 5'1", you know? So, I mean, they're tiny. And I was talking to my grandma Annie and she's like, Jeannie, there's a reason you're big. And I said, why? She said, to end the abuse in our family. Because every single female had been abused.
Wow.
And it stopped with me. And I was like,
that gives me chills.
Wow. I know, me too. I've got chills all over. And so it just reminds me that we have a plan, but then God has a bigger plan.
Wow.
And that's why I grew.
That's beautiful. I mean, you're probably thinking, oh, why do I have to be so tall? But grandma's thinking, oh, yeah. Jeannie, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
So grateful.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I remember, especially in, you know, junior high school, and you're wanting to date and all the guys are like right here and you're like, oh, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it caused a lot of trauma, but you know, and then
like, I still feel abused when I was
exactly. But, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it was so cool to have that conversation with her and her to say, we've prayed for you.
Wow.
We've prayed for you. You're an answer to prayer. And I was like, wow, that's heavy, Grandma. Yeah,
but wow. But really to instill in you that, maybe did that instill in you some sense of self, confidence or self-esteem, knowing that that's you were.
Yeah. And well, we had that conversation when I was wanting to quit. So becoming a professional speaker is not an easy task. There's a lot of rejection, you know, and I remember when I was starting out and just saying, hey, this is me. And they're like, awesome, go away. You know, so it was so awesome when I reached out to you and they're like, I'd love to have you on. They're like, yay. Yeah. You know, and so, but in the beginning, I was not that way. And so I was really discouraged. I'm like, why am I doing this? And Grandma Annie says, this is why. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so it shifted my perspective in a time when I really needed it, really needed it.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I'm grateful that you.
Yeah. I have never told that story.
Wow. I'm honored.
Other than to my husband, you know, my husband knows that story, but your audience is the first people to hear that.
It's such an interesting thing to bring up here on the Family Culture Movement because of the things that perpetuate through generations, you know, beliefs and behaviors even, and to know that when we want to stop or change a cultural narrative or a dysfunction, sometimes you have to create something intentional, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you do, right? But what you're telling me is that your grandma, your mother, you know, they prayed that something would, because something like abuse, that's not something that's easy to stop. That's not something, that's not a behavior that's easy to break that chain, right? Yeah. And so to know that you were given that power to be able to break that chain, that cultural dysfunction, right? Like that's huge. That's a big, that's so powerful to know that's something that people are capable of doing. And sometimes it comes in the form of something you didn't expect, like that you're tall.
Right. And I remember, so since we've already gone this far, let's just go the whole way, right? I remember as a young teenager, you know, older, probably 12, 13 in there, sitting at the dinner table. And I love my dad, absolutely love my dad. So if he listens to this, I want to say that first. And he's got issues, just like I do, right?
Everybody does. We all got our issues.
We get his aired right now. But we're sitting at the dinner table and I'd been right beside him. I grew up on a farm, right beside him all day, chasing cows, milking cows, cleaning out, you know, feeding. And we're sitting at the dinner table and he says, hey, will you get the salt? And I'm like, get it yourself.
Nice.
And he got so mad at me. And I'm like, you're closer than I am. Uh-huh. Why would I get up and get it? You get it, you know, and I'm totally forgot about that experience until years later when my mom and I were talking and she said, you have inspired me to stand up for myself. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, remember when you told dad to get the salt himself. And I was like, no, he told me that story. And I was like, I do remember. And he was pissed. And I said, he was closer to the salt than I was. Sense. Why? You know, and she said, but you know what? That started shifting my perspective and my life, my life. And I was like, wow. And then, you know, like 10, 15 years later to have that conversation with my grandma and then, you know, to start connecting the dots from childhood into adulthood and go, you know, when there's something that comes from realizing that you're an answer to someone's prayer, you know,
and
it gives you this confidence and this, I better freaking do this. Right? Or Grandma Annie, because she's, you know, she's passed away now, but if I don't do this, Grandma Annie's going to haunt me. You know, in fact, she told me that one. She's like, you write that book or I'm going to haunt you. And I was like, oh, write my book.
That's awesome. What a great legacy that she's empowered you with, right? Like that's so
absolutely
cool. That's so cool. Yeah. And it's interesting that this idea of you as a kid being able to see the incongruity of your dad's behavior and that empowering your mom, that's something that it brings up a whole separate point. I think how kids see through us, right? And you can't fake these things or you can't try to use them, you know, things like that. Kids see through that. You gotta be true. You gotta be, have integrity yeah. about that stuff. And that's cool that yeah. you were like, you called it out. Like,
yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me. And, right. and how that empowered your mom. That's yeah. a great story. Thanks.
Well, and it also, so I realized, and then I saw, so looking back, right, hindsight's always 20/20. I remember as that young teen standing up. And then as I continued to grow and watch dynamics, I learned not to stand up. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned from my mom, you stand at the in the kitchen and cry mm-hmm. instead of saying, excuse me, get it yourself. You right. know? And so my first husband, I've been married before. My first husband was very verbally abusive, mm. emotionally abusive. He hit me once. And the good thing was that we were both in the military. And I told him, you ever hit me again, I'm going straight to the captain and you'll be done, wow. you know? And so, and so that was that,
yep.
But I was that independent person. Then it was trained out of me. And then I've had to reclaim it. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to let your listeners know that wherever you're at, you can change it. And it starts with your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, so I was very independent as a kid. Then I learned to be codependent. Mm-hmm. And now I've learned to be independently dependent, I guess, because I have an incredible marriage. We've been married just over 18 and a half years. And people ask us all the time, are you guys newlyweds? And we're like, yeah, 18 and a half years, you know? And so whatever situation you're in, whatever family dynamic you're in, it can get better.
Yeah.
It just takes an upgrade. Just like our phones, our computers need upgrades. You know, too bad we don't wake up and have the little thing upgrade that you push.
Right, if only.
But I'm constantly trying to upgrade
plug it
my
in.
Life, my experiences, what I'm learning, yeah. you know, and so yeah. you can't upgrade.
That's awesome. Awesome. So you started writing these books. You have the book Bullyproofing You. And what was your pivotal experience that shifted you towards this journey in your life?
So I was a high school teacher. And at that point, when I transitioned from the classroom to the stage in 2012, and I had been receiving what I call God pokes, those little things that say, hey, you should, hey, you should. And you're just like, nah, no, you know, and then I received kind of the 2x4. And my husband and I were in real estate and we had gone through Robert Kiyosaki's classes. And so I went back to one of his classes and people found out that I was a student, a former student. And so every break, people were coming up to me, you know, and asking me all these questions. And I'm like, you guys are asking the wrong question. Stop asking how much it cost. Ask me what my ROI was. And finally, I just got fed up. And I go up to the guy and his name was Brandon. I said, Brandon, can I just have 20 minutes on stage to tell everybody they're asking the wrong freaking question? They need to be asking about the ROI. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Tomorrow, such and such a time. Now, looking back on that, I know that was God inspired.
That was pretty
because
cool.
You don't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I be on your stage? You know, I mean, you just don't do that. Right. And so I prepared. I'm already, I'm not worried at all because I teach all the time at this point. And so I'm standing in front of the audience and I have this out of body experience and I'm watching myself teach. And the other part of me is watching the audience. And they're sitting on the edge of the seat. They're writing notes. They're like fully engaged. They're asking questions. And I'm like, whoa, this is teaching. Mm-hmm. Because just the week before I had a student, I worked at an alternative high.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking, you're not your mainstream kids. Mm-hmm. And I had just asked one of my students to take her feet off of another student's face.
Right.
And, you know, you're constantly getting out of the bathroom, you know, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and I'm like, whoa, this is teaching. This is changing lives. And so afterwards, I went and I said, Brandon, how do I do what you do? And he's like, well, this is what you do. And there were so many breadcrumbs that I couldn't deny it anymore. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was being called to move from the teaching in the classroom to a bigger stage, a bigger audience. Mm-hmm. And so that's what led me I've shared the stage with Sarah Palin and Candy Carson in Omaha. That was phenomenal. Just recently, I got to share the stage with Jason Hewlett, Randy Furr. I mean, just incredible things. And it started with me going, wait, hang on, that paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite memes, pictures, whatever you want to call it, is a picture of three sticks laying on the ground. And it's from Winnie the Pooh, because he plays Pooh sticks, right? Uh-huh. Love Winnie the Pooh. And Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are standing there. And one of them says, to somebody, that's just three sticks. And to others, it's the letter A. I love that. Because it's all about perspective. If I don't know that those three sticks laying in that form, if I don't know that's in letter A, all I know is that it's three sticks.
Right.
But once I learn that that's an A, every time I look at it, I see an A.
Right.
It's the same with life. All it takes is just that little bit of shift or that knowledge or that where the penny drops and you're like, oh my gosh.
Makes sense now. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's the epiphany. I don't know if I answered your question, but
that kind of went off
on a tangent.
That experience was powerful for you to be able to know that, and you're giving people that opportunity to have that epiphany as well, because you're teaching on a larger scale and you're able to speak from a bigger stage. That's inspiring. I think that, you know, I kind of aspire to that as well, but I also think in the back of my mind, I don't know, that's so big.
So you know, Marianne Williamson, right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a good author. Yeah. Yeah.
Get that quote. It's not our darkness that scares us. It's our light, mm-hmm. You know, and I have it right here so I could read the whole thing to you, but remember that. Mm-hmm. And one of the conversations that I had with God is, why me, Lord? What do you mean me? Why? I'm good. Just right here in my classroom. I'm good. Yeah. And the what he said was, yeah, but you'll say it the way certain people need to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a voice. And the fact that you have a mic and the fact that you have an audience already says you have a voice that people need to hear. And so if you're being called to that next level, step up. Step up to that next level. Tame that pulley between your ears. Step up and make it happen, because you save lives.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you. Everybody listening, if that's your aspiration, don't tame that bully between your ears. Yes.
Yeah.
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 So, Jeannie, let's go into this idea around your bullying or, you know, things like that. I like to talk about, you know, what is it about our dominant culture that we generally accept, that we just go, well, it's just the way it is, or anything like that. What is one of these beliefs in our dominant culture you believe is dysfunctional?
So my belief is that there's this perpetuation of bullying because a lot of people don't understand it. And there's a demonizing of bullies that needs to stop. They're people.
Interesting. Yeah.
My belief is hurt people hurt people. And there is this societal bent to demonize people that don't agree with me. And so if we hold a different viewpoint on politics or religion or race or whatever, then they're the enemy and I'm good. And let's tear this enemy down. That's wrong.
Yeah.
That is absolutely wrong. And it has got to stop.
Well, and I feel like that's even escalated in the political environment lately, where we have cancel culture and things like that now, where we're just going to tune that out and completely shut out that any kind of conversation about any other ideology than the one I already agree with.
Yeah.
Right. That's dangerous.
Horribly dangerous, because I may need that person's opinion to shift and let the penny drop, just like we were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. And so I seek out people who don't believe what I believe. And then I tell them what I believe. Mm-hmm. And then they argue with me. And if I have enough reasons to support what I call that tabletop, my reason is the tabletop, you know, my beliefs, the tabletop, my reasons are the legs. And if I have enough reasons to support that tabletop, that it's solid, I walk away with my same belief. Mm-hmm. But if I realize I've got one belief, it's time to change that tabletop.
Right.
Or if I don't have enough good reasons to support that, then I need to look at that, my belief differently.
Right. And maybe,
you know, but if I don't have that opposition in my life, I just go on believing the same thing. Hey, the world's flat. Yeah. Right. World's flat. Everybody. Hey, world's flat. And if I don't meet anybody else that says, I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep believing that.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, I have some ideas about why I think that happens, but what do you think? Why, you know, what is causing this closed-mindedness in our society, in our culture? Why do we just want us, you know, just say, no, this is my belief. This is what I want to keep it and cancel everything else. Why are people so bent on doing that?
Fear. Fear. That's all it is. It comes back, you know, I just mentioned hurt people. There's a lot of pain, a lot of pain. And people have not learned how to deal with it appropriately. Mm. We have adults having 2-year-old temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Knock it off. Yeah. Grow up.
Yeah.
Right. And learn how to deal with your emotion. There is an absolute way to deal with pain. I'm not saying shut it off. Right. I was raised that way. No, no feeling. No, don't feel that. I've learned that emotions are powerful and we need to harness them instead of hide them.
Yeah.
And so I've learned how to harness my emotions. And if we can get more people to do that, to go, hey, you know what? That hurt. But we're afraid to say it hurt because the other person may attack even more. Mm. And then they'll shred me.
Right.
So I need to attack back.
Right.
Or cancel them or block them. And so I walk around with this wall and barbed wire or Constantina wire, you know, guns blazing at whatever's in my way so I don't get hurt.
Right.
And so that's what I believe is happening in our society. And if we can start to go, hey, wait a minute, because just as much as hurt people, healed people heal people. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a mission to start the healing. Wow. I call them yuck berries. You know, those things that happened when you were little that hurt you. And then you put this layer around it to try and encapsulate it so you didn't deal with it. Well, my friend, it is still affecting you. You're just unaware of it. And so we got to get in there, burst that yuck berry, get the situation out and go, oh, my 30-year-old mind looks at that differently than my 6-year-old mind did. But right. So many people have their 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old mind running their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's great. I mean, I talk a lot about this idea of the ingrained beliefs. They are things that are perpetuated from our, you know, generations before, like we were talking about with you stopping the cycle of abuse in your family. And, you know, this idea of sometimes it's not behavior, it's just the belief, right? And mm-hmm. and these things manifest when we get triggered or, you know, we feel afraid and we feel like we need to defend ourselves or sometimes because we've had past experience of if we show signs of weakness that somebody is going to come at us? Does that happen a lot in your experience?
I think our defense or our feelings of insignificance or our feelings of not enough absolutely point back to Christ mm-hmm. because we are not enough. We are not deserving of anything. We're sinners. Mm-hmm. However, he died on the cross for us. We're still not enough, but because he loved us so much, he died for us. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is that people try to boost themselves up to be enough. Mm-hmm. We're not enough. And I'm loved beyond measure. That's the part that they forget. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in the I'm not enough. So I got to tear someone else down so that we're equal, you know, that leveling thing, right? So if I can tear that person down instead of build myself up, you know, whatever, I need, we all got to be level. We all got to be the same. No, no. I am loved beyond measure. And guess what? So are you. Mm-hmm. And so are all of your listeners. Everybody has this wealth of love, support that they can tap into at any time. And I think they forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. That in a way we are level in our imperfections mm-hmm. through grace, right? Like yeah. that would be, we can just remember that aspect of grace, like that we are, we don't need to shelter our inadequacies. We can embrace right. them, right? Like that's just right. part of this process of growing.
Right. Growing up. Because we have different strengths, mm-hmm. you know, and in my book, Bullyproofing You, I talk about how if we focus on making our weaknesses stronger, we're not going to get anywhere. But if I focus on my strength is teaching. My strength is taking this complex subject and breaking it down so it's easy. Why? Because I struggled so hard in school. And then as a school teacher, I had to do that for my students. And so I learned how to make it simple, easy, digestible. That's my strength. And if I focus on trying to be a better speller, my strength is going to diminish.
Right.
So I need to perform my strengths and hire my weaknesses.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're made to work together.
Yeah.
I find somebody, an editor or whatever, to edit my books. Yeah. And I remember when I was writing my first book, I was like, I can't spell, I can't write, I can't. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jeannie, if you're the only person who can't spell, nobody would have invented spell check.
Right.
It wouldn't have been lucrative. You can't survive with one, you know, one customer. And so I'm like, the simple fact that somebody invented that means that I'm not the only one. It also means that there's somebody out there who's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would come together and say, hey, this is what I'm good at. What are you good at? And I used to do that with my students all the time. I'd pull them in and I'd say, hey, okay, who's good at math? No, for real. Who's good at math? Oh, I am. Awesome. He's the guy you go to for math. Who's good at science? I am. Oh, her. Go to her for your questions with science. And we built this family and this support. And then I'd say, okay, who's bad at spelling besides me? You know, okay, yeah. bad at that. Awesome. Now I know that. This is who we go to for help. And so if we did more of that in our society, we would absolutely come together. But we have so many people saying, I'm better than you, that... No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're not. You just have strengths that are different than me. And you think your strengths are better than mine. They're not.
Yeah.
My strengths are just as important. And my weaknesses are just as bad as your weaknesses. So stop hiding them and just say, hey, got me a weakness here. Need yeah. some help with it.
Yeah. So does that come back to this idea of like a fixed versus a growth mindset? You think that yeah. that so many people, we want to protect those weaknesses and not, and in a way fixed mindset is even like protecting those strengths by trying to claim them or to only work as hard as it will be observed that you have that as a strength. You know what I mean? Like the kids who have, they take a test or they perform at something. They don't ever want to take a test that's harder because then they'll look dumb, or they don't want to go higher into a sporting activity because at this level they excel. Do you know what yeah. I mean? And so yeah. anyway, that kind of is a little bit of a tangent from what you said, but
no, it's perfect because that's part of the problem.
Right.
People look at struggles as bad. No, right. struggles are good. Struggles make me stronger. I go to the gym. Why? Because I want to, you know, be in good shape as I continue to age. I'm 54 years old. I want to be able to pick up my grandkids, go skiing, you know, whatever I want. And so I go to the gym. If I didn't go to the gym and start lifting, you know, the 2 pound weight, I could never get to the 20 pound weight.
Right.
But people think they want to get to the 20 pound weight.
Right.
You know, there's no elevator to success.
To start at the 2 pound weight. And it's like,
right.
no, you have to start there. And that's okay.
Where you got to start. And you've got to struggle all the way up to the 20 pound. There's no elevator to success. You got to take the stairs.
Yeah.
So take your first step.
Yeah.
You know, and the first step is realizing or recognizing that you've got a problem that needs to change. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all have weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so I get to decide, okay, that's a weakness I have. And you know what? That's just going to be a weakness I have. I have somebody on my team that can help me with that. I'm going to do my strengths. Mm. And stop the I'm better than you because. Mm-hmm.
You just, that's not.
There's no place for that.
Yeah, that's not a place of growth. It's not, you know, everybody has different gifts.
Yeah. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And we have created a society that tries to, you know, oh, you have to feel sorry for the weakest link. We have to, you know, help the weakest link. No, the weakest link should not be in the chain, but it is. The weakest link should be doing what it's the best at somewhere else.
Okay.
So it's okay to have weaknesses. And it's okay to say, hey, I'm not your person to go for the spelling bee. I'm not. That's okay. Not me. Uh-huh. But when I was in the military, if you needed somebody to run with a 45-pound pack, I'm your girl. If you need somebody to do 200 push-ups in 2 minutes, I'm your girl. But I'm not your girl to go right on the board perfectly, because that ain't going to happen.
Right. That's interesting. That's like one of those memes that you see where there's all these different animals lined up and they say, we're going to make this an equal, we're going to test you. And to make it equal, all of you have to climb that tree. And there's like only one monkey and there's like an elephant and a, you know, right. Or things like that. And it's like, well, but that doesn't, that only honors that one person's strength. And so a lot of our system and our education and things like that, but are geared towards that type of like honoring people and their abilities is it's geared towards maybe one type of ability in a lot of ways. If you're good at testing, or if you're good at academics, or if you're good at, or you're a good reader or things like that, then that's what is valued. But in the real world, we all have different strengths that aren't necessarily going to fit into a specific mold, right?
Yeah. And there are so many examples of people now who have made it and they didn't do well in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the person who is saying, well, you didn't do well. So I know more entrepreneurs who sucked in school than they did in life. And guess what? School ends when you're in your teens still. You know, and if you go on to college, maybe a little bit longer. If you go on to be a doctor, a little bit longer, but it is still a very small section of your life.
Yeah.
So why are we so hung up on grades?
Right.
Why are we so hung up on these we other things? We
could have a whole conversation about that.
Right. Oh, man, we could go, you know, and as an educator.
I homeschool my kids, so that's like.
Yeah, I was an educator, you know, and we have some tremendous teachers.
Yeah.
Tremendous teachers. And we have some that shouldn't be there anymore. And that's the same with many professions. Mm-hmm. Many professions.
Well, a lot of times this idea of not honoring your strengths, sometimes that's why that when people are in the wrong profession, it's because they're not honoring their strength, right? Like, let's set up a system to figure out people who have their strength and then match them with, I don't know, some career or something. I don't know. Yeah. that's what they try to do, but they do that in like elementary school. And you're like, what? I have no idea what I wanted to do in elementary school.
Right. Well, I think the problem is that we know what our gift is. We know what we're passionate about. We know what we enjoy. The problem is we let fear stop us. Mm. Because what if I try and I fail? And we've put this bad connotation on fail. No, it's just a learning experience.
Yeah.
Because I get to try again and now I have more knowledge.
Yep. Yeah. It's powerful. Okay. So going into that, let's go into that a little bit deeper. This idea of, you know, the solution of this idea you've brought up several honoring your strengths, embracing failure as part of this process of growth and exercising, not just our muscles, but the figurative muscles of our brains and our talents and things like that, you know? So what are the other ways that we can help to basically, if fear is the problem, what can we do to alleviate the fear?
Identify it, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with Tony Robbins' team and Dean Graziosi for just over a year now. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Pitbull. And he was talking with a group of us, and he says, I know that you guys have heard the analogy of fear is, you know, what is it? False evidence appearing real, or there's other ones. And he says, my fear is face everything and rise. Mm. And I was like, I love that. Wow. I love that. And so when I feel the fear come up, I tell myself, here's an opportunity to build my courage muscle. And we need more courage muscles.
Yeah.
So I don't like snakes. Detest snakes. Couldn't even see a picture of a snake before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done a lot of work. And this past weekend, we were going up the canyon. And so I needed to get some firewood. And we have some kindling in a box. And I went down and I lifted the lid off the box and freaked out because there was a snake coiled up right on top of it. Freaked out. And I'm like, okay, face everything and rise. Okay, Jeannie, you can do this. You can face a snake. You can do this. Because it was just a gardener snake. It wasn't poisonous, you know, because I always check my safety gear first, right? Check your safety gear and then jump in with
the busty. You don't want to reach in when it's a rattlesnake or something.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to run away. And so I'm like, it's okay. It can't kill me. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a stick and I'm going to flip it out. Right. And so I'm like, I can do this. So coach myself. You got to start coaching yourself. Mm-hmm. Listen to yourself less and coach yourself more. Nice. if you can do that, whatever that means. And so I grab a stick and I throw the lid off and the snake's there. And I grab the stick and I try to flip him, but it doesn't, I don't know if it's a him or a her. I tried to flip him or her. Okay. And it didn't work. And so it crawled down further down into the box. And that made it worse because now I know there's this, you know, he was probably about 2.5 feet snake in my wood pile in the box. And I'm like, I'm not digging through there. So I just put the lid back on and I left. And so yesterday I'm like, okay, you got to go face it. You got to go face it. Mm-hmm. And so I went down there and I looked at it and I'm like, later. No, but I'm like, you have to do it today because I know that if I approach, so outside my comfort zone is everything that I want because right. I want it. That means I don't have it.
Right.
And so if I approach that comfort zone, let's say this is the bubble of my comfort zone. I approach that comfort zone and I back off. This wall gets stronger and stronger and much more difficult to go through.
Yep.
So I made the point, I'm going to bust through this today. I approached it. I said, no, not quite ready. So I said, by the end of today, I will go face that snake in the box. And I did. And I went down and it was harder to open it because I knew it might be there than before when I did it the first time when it wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can do this. I've got this. Why am I doing this? Because I'm building courage muscles. I need more courage muscles because my obstacles right now are building. I mean, my struggles right now are building muscles for my future obstacles. I got big dreams. I need big muscles so that, you know, so I'm just talking to myself. And so I flipped the lid off and there was no snake. And I was like, well, I'm not digging in there. Mm-hmm. So I put the lid back on, but I was on such heightened awareness that everywhere I went, I was like, is that snake? You know, I was like freaking out, but I did it. I built big courage muscles yesterday.
I love that. I love that coaching. No, I love that idea because like I've read a couple of books about like how to break through your, just count down and you'll be able to, you know, jump through it or visualize getting after whatever happens, you know, and it's not bad advice, but I think what you just described to me sounds better because when you're saying, you know, when you say, okay, I'm just going to count down and I'm going to just jump out and do this thing that you aren't necessarily, honoring the fear. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I almost think that you have to like look at the fear and like you said, face it. But if you just say, oh, I'm just going to charge through this thing and ignore the fear, then you're not honoring it. You're not honoring what's going on inside of you. But I like what you're describing is saying, I'm going to honor this and acknowledge this fear and do this because I want to strengthen my courage muscles. and do this because I have dreams outside of this comfort zone that if I don't face this, that barrier is going to get thicker and it's going to be even harder to break through. Yeah. So that's really inspiring to think about it that way. Like I'm going to acknowledge this part of me that's afraid instead of just back it down. Like it's like nothing, because it isn't nothing, right? Yeah. It's a real thing that we have these fears, and we're going to build our courage muscles quicker when we say, you know what? It is scary. And I'm going to acknowledge that fear and then acknowledge when I'm courageous, because it was that much more difficult.
Yeah. To break through that. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we do near enough celebrating.
Right.
Not near enough, you know, that, hey, I freaking rock. I did that.
Pat yourself on the back.
You know? Yeah. The pat on the back, or we do the Snoopy dance. You know, the wahoo, I did it, you know, and we need a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's a struggle just getting out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting out of bed can be a struggle. And you know what? Celebrate that.
Yeah.
Because there were people today who did not get out of bed. And they will never get out of bed again because they're gone.
Right.
They're not even here anymore. And so celebrate the fact that you have one more day. Every morning, the very first thing I do when I wake up is I say, thank you, Lord, for another day to become the person you see in me. I know I'll never get there, but it's the journey.
Yeah.
It's the trying, you know? And so when you start your day off with, hey, thanks. Thanks for letting me be here today. It goes much better than when you're grumpy and ooky and poo-headish.
No, it's, I have to tell you, Jeannie, that thank you. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for what you shared. I was consigned before I got into my interviews today was a grief day for me. And I was just kind of like, and I was feeling kind of sad that I couldn't extend my grief day into the afternoon because I had these interviews. And I mean, I planned them and I schedule them, right? So it's like, I know that it's something that I could rearrange, right? But, you know, we have those days. I have those days kind of a lot, but, you know, because of my situation. And I just, I grieve for things that like most people grieve, you know, for a death in the family and things like that. And I've interviewed people about grief and how to manage it. But my grief is for things that, lost, missed opportunities, missed chances, years lost of, things. And I was ready today to just say, well, today's a grief day, but I knew that I wanted to have these conversations because I knew that it would be able to help me to get out of that and to be able to share what people need to hear. And I knew you were coming up and I'm like, I know Jeannie's going to have something that people need to hear and probably something I need to hear too. And it's definitely turned out that way. So thank you so much for what you shared and just this idea of, you know, because for me doing this podcast, it's gotten easier as I've done it. You know, it started out like I have definitely like back in the beginning, I've been doing this now for 5 years. And for a long time it was, I don't know if I can do this, you know, but I felt that what God poke you said, like, I need to do this podcast. I need to be able to have this journey for some reason. And more that's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. Like I have to do this, not, or I get to do this, right? That's the language shift I should have this. Yeah. I get to do this. Right. Yeah. And it's gotten a little bit easier and easier for me. Because, and it has because of this idea of that we build on our courage and we build those muscles. And it's definitely, you know, it's not that so such and such trials have gotten easier, but I've gotten stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we have a t-shirt that says, I love my life. And, you know, it's part of the package that you can get if you want, when you get some of my services. But when I first started saying, I love my life, that was not so. It was not so. And I would say that and I'd be like, you know, and now everybody knows from the look on my face that I love my life. I don't even have to say it anymore because they come to me and they go, how do I get what you have?
Right.
And I'm like, it starts with, I love my life, but I don't love my life. Yeah. And you never will if you don't start somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. Start.
So good job choosing to make that decision. Nice job. You freaking rock.
pat on the back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes it's a moment by moment decision.
Yeah.
A moment by moment decision. I love my life. Whew. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Jeannie, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the show. I really enjoy talking to you and thank you for the things you've shared. And I just love it. I just love what you're doing. And so tell us where we can find you and what are you working on right now?
Okay, beautiful. So the first thing is Bullyproofing You book. Go there, get the program. It includes a physical copy of my book that I will personally autograph and ship out to you. It also has a digital copy of the book because I want you to get started as soon as you're there. And you're going to be able to download that. There's also a workbook. I think it's a 100-page workbook. Don't be discouraged, though. Some of it's for journal writing. Then there's a video for each chapter as well. There's also 3 bonus videos for parents. You know, how do I get my kids to be bully proof? Right. There's one for parents, there's one for teens, and there's one for parenting toddlers. And then there's also a bonus video. I do a class once a Saturday, one Saturday a month called Tools for Taming the Bully Between Your Ears. And so you get a download of one of those classes. There's just all kinds of stuff. You can get our t-shirt, all kinds of stuff there. And so I have learned that you can read a book and go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Right?
I don't want that. I want this book to change your life. I want this book to take you from, oh my gosh, another day, seriously, to I freaking love my life, man. What's next? Bring it on. Yes. And so that's what the program is designed to do, to help you do that. And it's very inexpensive and just go check it out. Okay.
So that's at
bullyproofingyoubook.com.
Bullyproofingyoubook.com. Okay. Yeah. I was looking at the links that you sent me. I'm like, oh, these are all social links. Well, we want to know those too. So I'll make sure those get put in the show notes.
And okay.
So we can connect with you.
Awesome.
Awesome. So bullyproofingyoubook.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. I really enjoyed talking with you and thank you for your wisdom.
Absolutely. And I feel inspired to give an extra bonus just to your listeners. I've never done this before, but if you go through that and you purchase the book, then in the comments say, hey, I heard about you on Jody's podcast. It's called Family Culture, right?
Family Culture Movement. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So either the name of that or Jody, mention it. And I'm going to offer you a 30-minute free consultation with me. Absolutely free.
Wow.
And that's $200 usually. And so that's my gift. Just my way of saying, hey, thanks.
Wow.
And I've never done that before. So you go purchase the book and you're going to get all kinds of bonuses as well. So
awesome. Thanks so much, Jeannie. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Family Culture Hacker, for tuning in to the Family Culture Movement. I have so much fun creating these shows and having these discussions because I know that it is what is going to help us shift our vision towards a family culture of intentionality, trust, sufficiency, and growth. Thank you for being part of this movement. Help more people be part of this movement and find this podcast by liking and sharing and rating and reviewing the podcast and going on social media and finding me there. You can connect with me at Family Culture Podcast on Facebook and Instagram and at Jody Chafee everywhere on all social media platforms. Thank you again for being here. And remember that if you want to change the world, go home and love your families.